Okay, welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. Today we have Jim Weber of LostLetterman.com on the podcast. He wrote a really good piece on LostLetterman.com about the state of Sports Illustrated, maybe what their purpose was in producing this series on Oklahoma State, and just kind of where we go from here. I will link it below on PistolsFiringBlog.com, below the podcast, so you can read it there. And as always, you can check us out on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search Pistols Firing. Thanks for listening. Okay, Jim Weber, founder of LostLetterman.com. Appreciate you coming on the podcast today to talk about your piece.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you wrote on Lost Letterman today kind of about the Oklahoma State Sports Illustrated scandal investigative piece that's taking place. And you said that you kind of have a lot of questions about Sports Illustrated as a whole. Is this something you've seen happen recently, or has it been happening for the last decade? Kind of what's your take on how long this has been happening?
Well, I guess what really raised my eyebrows was when SI hired Thayer Evans and Pete Bamel. Pete Bamel has really been a controversial figure when he was at the New York Times, and he always wrote these explosive stories that usually read in resulted in head coaches being fired. But, you know, he's kind of been on a crusade against John Calipari, and nothing's really materialized. And it just kind of seemed like he was always out for the next big explosive scandal. Thayer Evans used to work with him at the New York Times, then worked for Fox Sports. He kind of went on his own crusade against Cam Newton. Some of the reporting was pretty shoddy. And then, you know, when they both got hired by SI, that's when I was kind of curious that they were being reunited there. And the first time that I was kind of questioning the reporting they were doing there was when Pete Bamel did a really long piece on Manti Te'o and Lene Kukua, who we all know turned out to be fake. And he explained himself afterward why he didn't realize that the girlfriend was made up, and was talking about how he called Stanford and they said they didn't have anyone by that name. And he said, you know, he just decided to leave it out of the story. You know, instead of that being a red flag and him saying, wait, why isn't this person listed as a student at Stanford if Manti Te'o is supposedly dating her? So those are the kind of things that kind of drew my attention. And then when this happened, I wasn't really surprised with all the backlash that's taken place in the last 2 days.
So what do you think the strategy is for, I saw earlier today that somebody tweeted out a link that, you know, said Sports Illustrated's magazine sales have declined, and people have been writing. I mean, magazine sales in general, that's a thing, right? Like they're not increasing. So what do you feel like is Sports Illustrated's strategy in terms of what it wants to be as a business?
Yeah, well, I actually work with someone who used to work at Sports Illustrated, and, you know, he's talked a lot about how they've really put a focus on their enterprise journalism, which is, you know, long form pieces that are very in depth, either features or investigative pieces. So, you know, I know a lot of people say, oh, this is kind of Sports Illustrated's last stand and they'll do anything to sell papers. You know, they're like a tabloid now. I don't really agree with that. I do think that what they're saying is, you know, this is the gold standard of journalism, and we really want to, you know, just kind of reconfirm that with these long form pieces, and, you know, investigative journalism falls into that. You know, that's why, you know, they had the LSU piece on Tyrann Mathieu, even though he'd already left for the NFL. They had the Ohio State piece that kind of felt thrown together. And, you know, I had heard that they had planned on the piece coming out later, but then when Jim Tressel resigned, that they kind of rushed it out. So that didn't really, you know, that wasn't as strong as I expected it to be. So now with this Oklahoma State piece, this is kind of, you know, both of those had backlash from their respective fans. And as I point out in my article, you know, that kind of comes with the business. But the amount of red flags and the amount of backlash and the number of players that have come out saying that Thayer Evans didn't tell them that they were being interviewed, didn't tell them the context of the story, all those kinds of things, it's really been at another level than what happened with the Ohio State and LSU stories.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, I graduated from Oklahoma State. I run an Oklahoma State blog. I almost feel too close to the story. So it's nice to get the perspective of somebody like you or somebody like a Colin Cowherd or a Dan Patrick who, you know, have talked on their radio shows, this is what we see or this is how we feel. I mean, has it seemed like, I think to Oklahoma State fans, it feels like the first two parts haven't been, they haven't been that heavy. Like there hasn't been anything that you can point at and say, wow, that's going to be a really big issue in terms of the NCAA coming down on Oklahoma State. Have you noticed that too? Like, has it felt a little bit light?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't read the second part today. The first part, you know, I was so caught up in, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people are saying you can find this at any school. You know, I think that's kind of said about any investigative journalism story about college football is you can find this at any school. So I don't really know about that excuse. You know, I just look at it as me personally, I'm kind of desensitized to these things between LSU, that whole Tyrann Mathieu story, Ohio State, Nevin Shapiro, Willie Lyles. It's just kind of oversaturated at this point. I'm not saying that means they shouldn't do investigative reporting. It just kind of feels like more of the same. And then if you're going to do this kind of thing, like I said, you know, I assume, you know, there were things going on at Oklahoma State that shouldn't be going on. I mean, I don't question that. But my point was, if you're Sports Illustrated, you have to be 100% accurate when you come up with a five-part series that pretty much claims they did everything wrong you could possibly do wrong in a football program. And that's where I'm saying, look, you know, Sports Illustrated has to be completely right. And that's where I'd be really worried right now, because it doesn't look like they were 100% right. And that's the standard Sports Illustrated is creating for themselves and what people expect of them.
What happens if Sports Illustrated is 80% right or 90% right? If say a few of these things can get, you know, physical evidence be proven wrong, what happens to Sports Illustrated if that goes down?
Yeah, I mean, I think the stuff that's already come out, you know, I know the Tulsa World has interviewed a couple of players that said, you know, Bear Evans didn't tell them what the article was about. They didn't realize they were being interviewed. They thought they were just talking. I think those are bad things. You know, I think the thing that really, you know, there kind of needs to be one event, one huge thing that becomes national news. I don't know if that's, you know, a guy. I know last time with the LSU story, there were allegations that SI writers were willing to bribe people to talk. That didn't seem like it held much weight, but if there was something like that, you know, someone filed a lawsuit and said they were misquoted or, you know, this is libelous, you know, something like that, I think would really turn the tide against Sports Illustrated, because all these stories are kind of leaking out one by one, or let's say another media outlet, you know, kind of audited Sports Illustrated's report. You know, that's when I think, like I said, there's been, the local fans obviously get very upset when there's an investigative story. If something like this became national news that Sports Illustrated botched it, I just think it would really, you know, sharpen the decline of their print sales, their reputation, all those sorts of things. And like I said in the story, that's really all they really have going for themselves now. So I think this is a critical point for them, and they've got their fingers crossed that, you know, Thayer Evans did his work correctly, and that nothing's going to blow up in their face like I just described.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think that stuff did happen. I think it's foolish if you're an Oklahoma State fan to think that nothing happened. I just think that's just completely asinine. The thing that I'm struggling to come to terms with is, does Sports Illustrated run this story if they don't have any physical evidence, if they don't have any change transcripts, if they don't have any bank records or whatever it is? I don't, anything really. Do they run this story if it's just all former players talking on tape, on video?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that that's something that Sports Illustrated had to decide in their room. I think, you know, having worked at ESPN the magazine, people want more than just people on record talking. But, you know, I one of my biggest red flags was not mentioning all the guys that had been kicked off the team, transferred, left the program. And to not, you know, I understand that, you know, the guys that are most willing to talk are those kind of players, but to not mention it in the article made it seem like they were trying to hide that part about their sources. So that bothered me. And then obviously if they had had, you know, more players that didn't have this gripe or, you know, this axe to grind with their old school, that would obviously have helped a lot as well. So that's why I said, you know, I think it's still playing out right now, kind of what exactly is true and what isn't, but why I would be very nervous if I was Sports Illustrated, because you don't see this kind of blowback, even, you know, for reporting to other schools.
When you were at ESPN, the magazine, was there an onus on trying to report both sides of the story with something like that? I'm asking because I genuinely don't know if Sports Illustrated normally would put in, you know, three players saying, hey, this didn't happen. I mean, I don't know, maybe that would kind of discredit their story, but it feels like they just kind of reached out to these guys that they knew would say negative things and never really even tried to get the other side of the story. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I know ESPN Magazine had its own, problem back when Maurice Claret came out and said, hey, I'm getting paid at OSU, and people really got upset with them. I mean, this was 10 years ago, and they said, you know, ESPN hasn't told the other side of the story. This is just Claret upset because of the way his Ohio State career ended, all these kinds of things. Sports Illustrated isn't the only one to do this. I will say in their defense, when you try and reach out to Oklahoma State or Mike Gundy or Les Miles, they obviously don't have any comments. Could they have? I certainly think they could have. This is where the, you know, blurry line is. They say they reached out to Josh Fields and all these guys, and that they declined comment, or, you know, said that this didn't happen. And then Tatum Bell is saying, you know, they didn't even contact me. So it's kind of a, you know, just one word versus another at this point. So it's kind of hard to say whether or not SI did try and get the other side of the story at this point. So it's kind of up in the air.
I think the most fascinating thing about, if you kind of look at this from 30,000 feet, the most fascinating thing about the piece is the motive behind it. At times it's felt like Sports Illustrated was using Oklahoma State to point to the NCAA, and maybe we won't know the entire motive until it's over, but it feels like the NCAA and, you know, kind of that organization is the bigger fish here. And if Sports Illustrated can get them and I don't know, take them down, I don't know, whatever will ultimately happen to the NCAA, that they win or whatever. Have you kind of felt some semblance of a motive behind why Sports Illustrated would print this piece? Or is it as simple as this is an interesting piece and we're going to print it because this is what we do?
Yeah, I think it's as simple as that, but I will say what I found really odd about the story was the end line where it said, you know, it just seemed so out of place where they were talking about, you know, we were starving and we needed the money. And that just kind of seemed really out of place, kind of like, hey, you know, these kids weren't criminals, they were just doing it because they need to make ends meet. So it kind of felt like a thrown-in way of trying to say, you know, these kids aren't bad kids for doing it, and this kind of speaks to a bigger issue, but didn't really go anywhere with that. So, you know, I'm as confused as most people about what they were trying to say with the piece. And I've heard some people say, you know, are they trying to say this is, you know, kids are starving, or the NCAA is just can't oversee any of this stuff, or Oklahoma State's a dirty program, or Les Miles is a dirty head coach. You know, it wasn't kind of clear what exactly the point was. And so it kind of just felt like the spaghetti theory of throwing everything against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Okay. Last question I want to ask you. You said this, at the end of your piece today on LostLetterman.com, is you said, you know, you didn't know if SI would print this, if they didn't, you know they held all the cards. Do you think that there is, you know, kind of this big thing coming that basically seals their reporting as airtight, as you put it, in the future? Or is this kind of, have we seen kind of what we're going to get from each piece?
Yeah, I think we've seen what we're going to get. I don't think all of a sudden the pieces are going to become, you know, there's going to be less controversy, or it's going to be better reporting in the last couple pieces. I just think it's going to come down to, you know, if these players said that this didn't happen, you know, if SI comes out and, you know, airs the tapes, you know, I didn't put this in the article, but, you know, at ESPN the magazine, they viewed, you know, releasing public tapes as like, you know, negotiating with terrorists. So, you know, maybe they would do it in private, but they don't like being, you know, told you have to come out with these tapes and we're demanding this from you. So I don't know if they'll do that, but basically they need to back up all the reporting and discredit all these players that are saying they were, you know, misquoted, not told what the story was about, not realizing that they were, you know, on the record, all these things. They need to come out and prove that that didn't happen. You know, I don't think it's going to be in the stories that they're able to do that. I think, you know, they'll have to address it some way in public, especially, like I said, if someone comes out with a lawsuit or someone comes out with, you know, a really damning claim that we haven't heard already.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of where it goes from here and how it plays out and everything. But I appreciate you coming on today, Jim. I didn't want to take up too much of your time, but everybody should check out Jim's piece on LostLetterman.com. It's a really good piece on kind of the state of Sports Illustrated and what's going on there. And you can follow him on Twitter at Jim M. Weber. So, yeah, thanks for coming on, Jim.
All right. Thanks a lot for having me.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye.